All right. Are you all ready? All right, let's go over to the book of Galatians. We used to have a brother here. Many of you remember Marlon and Lula. And every time Brother Marlon would speak from Galatians, he always called it Galatians. Galatians. So we're going to go to Galatians, but I want us just to wait there a minute. Because you talk to all kinds of people and brothers and sisters in the Lord and people from other churches and people that don't go to church but love the Lord. And so sometimes you just want to ask the question, what does a Christian do? How is a Christian supposed to live? And so I'm going to start, I'm not really good with series because I get too excited. If the Lord gives me something during the week, then I want to come in and give it to you. So I don't always stick with the series because I just like to jump in. But I'm going to try to do a series on the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. But tonight, I don't know, we probably won't get far into this, but I do want to lay a foundation. Let me just ask you, what do you think it means to be a Christian? What does it mean? Your life. It's living like him. So all these things that they have mentioned, followers of Jesus and Christ-like and all these things we've mentioned, it's just living like him. Living like him. Which begs the question, when you go to work, when you're out there, do you live like him enough that people know you're a Christian? Or do you have to tell them after you've known them for a while that you're a Christian? And so when here's something that's not good. I don't think that we have to, well, of course, we don't have to be Bible thumping all the time on people you work with or your family, of course. I've seen a lot of people run their family members off because they Bible thump too hard on them instead of just living the life. You know, a few years ago, it was real popular. Everybody got the little bracelet or got the book called WWJD. What does that mean? What would Jesus do? Okay, so we all had that, but you want to say, but are you doing it? What would Jesus do? Well, okay, what would he do? Well, are you doing that? Are you living like him? Because it's a little embarrassing, and you've heard this over time. People will tell you, you know, I've worked with so-and-so for years, and I never knew he was a Christian. I'm like, well, you know, probably not. Just don't let that be said about you. That they say, oh, I've worked with you all those years, and I didn't know you were a Christian. Well, I don't think that happens here. I just don't, because I know you, and I know me. But as you say, who said that? Christians are set apart. Chris, is that you? Just set apart. You're different. There's no two ways about it. You don't have to try to be different. As Linda said, it's your life. It's who you are. It's the way you live. He lives in you. You live in him. Jesus said, me and my Father will come and make our abode in you. We'll just live with you. And that's just automatically going to make us different. Because look who he is. I mean, he's so powerful, and you know, he's creator, he's everything. And so how could somebody like that live in us and not make us different? Already, Ricky, I'm sure you're feeling different. You've just been saved or come back to the Lord for what, 3 weeks now, maybe? And now you're already feeling different. He's already committed his heart. He's at church all the time to say, what can I learn? What can I do more? So I believe that according to what you and I are going to see right here in Galatians, God has put it in his word through his disciples, through the apostles, through all the writers of the word, through even the Old Testament saints, to show us how to live like him. And so this, I think, is probably I think I could say that the buck would stop right here. Of course, the buck always stops with Jesus. But this would give us great instructions on how to live the Christian life. He showed us in his word how to just live like Jesus. So it all comes down to this. So if you want to know what Jesus was like, we'll start reading right here in chapter 5. Let's hear, Gabby, why don't we start in verse 16? Lord knows we could read the whole chapter, but let's just start at verse 16. Paul is speaking here, and he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if, there's that word, remember Sunday, I titled my message, but if, okay, there it is again, but if you were led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. So we'll stop right there and begin to look at this, how God wants us to live day by day. Now, I know this is going to be a funny request, but as I just read this, I want us to look up this word. Would somebody look on your phone and look up the word, put definition of lust? You say, oh, I know what lust means, Pastor. Don't you know what lust means? Of course we do. But let's see what the dictionary, how it defines lust. Because we need to know these things. I should have had that before I got here, but the Holy Spirit just convicted me as we were reading that. He says, Paul says, I say to you then, walk in the Spirit. Well, I will if you'll show me how. Well, he does. Every day he walks before us. He says, because if you do that, you will not fulfill the lust. He doesn't say lusts, but lust of the flesh. Did you get that, Portia, Kathy? You did? Here, let me put a mic. Okay.
Lust is an intense desire for craving for something and can be used as a noun or a verb. Probably a verb is.
Okay, an intent desire or craving. Does yours say something different?
Lust is a strong craving for sex. It can also mean a hunger for anything, like lust for power. Lust isn't necessarily a dirty word. It is a strong word. You don't have lust for something you don't really care about. Lust is a strong, powerful desire, whether it's a noun or a verb. You lust for things you deeply crave.
There you have it. So it's an intense longing or craving for something that, did it say you don't have or you want? You want. Okay, so Paul's telling us that every one of us have lust in us for certain things. For some people just totally lust after money. They lust after more. If they're single, maybe they want to be married. If they're married, they want to be single. If they got a small house, they will lust to get a bigger house. It's just always, it can be anything that they lust after. But here's something that is so full, and I don't know if you read it, Kathy, but that word is a big word. It's huge. It entails so much. So we don't have to elaborate there. Y'all know, I think, by the definitions here already what lust means. And you cannot let that get away from you, even with food or having a friend or whatever that might be. So Paul says, now if you want to make that even out and not drive you crazy or with drugs or alcohol or maybe cursings out of your mouth, all of these things, you don't really lust to do that. That's just things, I guess, the cursing, and some people, they'll say, I can't help it. It just comes out. Well, it might tell something about what's going on inside. I think we'll know that as we read right here. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit lust against the flesh. Now, this makes big trouble inside the children of God. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So let's back it up. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. Are you serious? Yeah? The lust, the flesh, the flesh, now that's a Greek word, and it's spelt, if I'm saying it right, I think it's S-A-R-X, sarx, which means, it means the old man, or the natural man, or the fleshy man. The natural man, that man that you were delivered from, let me find it here. I wrote that word down. Sarx is literally translated flesh. It means your human nature or sinful nature. Sinful nature, human nature, one. And so the flesh means that person that we deal with all the time, that human, that humanity, that natural man. Now let me say this. This is the best way. I'll never forget when Paul said, there was one scripture that I learned when Rick and Jamie passed away that day. Something happened in me at that time and a short time after. Paul would always talk about, Paul said, I had two members warring in my flesh, and the natural man and the spirit man. And he said, I see these two warring. Well, I was a young girl when they passed. I was 35, and I'd known that scripture for years, but I really never understood what members warring in your flesh. And he does say it, but sometimes you don't get the fullness of the word unless you're really studying it. And he said, I see them warring in my flesh. But when they passed, I'll tell you what, I met up with that scripture and I understood it to the fullest. Now I know we're going in a little different direction in the scriptures here, maybe the same. But there were times when they passed where I would just sit down and I would get alone and I would just cry my eyes out and wonder, oh God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make it? What am I going to do? Oh God. And I'm telling you, it was just like when Peter was out walking on the water. I felt like I had been walking on the chaotic mess that had happened. And all of a sudden, I'd be sitting there just weeping and crying and looking at this mess I was in and what in the world was going to happen. And all of a sudden, those tears would dry up, and I would feel this in my heart. I can do this. God, you're good. You're going to hold me through this. We're going to make it. And you'd go from this to this, just like that. And the Lord showed me then, said, that's what Paul was talking about. You have two members. You have the daughter of your mother and daddy. You have that girl who is the natural woman. Okay? So when the natural woman shows up, you'll just sit down and cry. I remember going shopping one day, the three or four weeks after, maybe two or three months after they passed. We lived on the ranch. So when I went grocery shopping, I'd have to get two big carts of groceries because we shopped every 2 weeks. But when they passed, we stayed with Lainey and Doyle, and she asked me if I wanted to go grocery shopping. Well, I went to get groceries, and it was even the grocery shopping was different. And so I'm walking down there, and I'm just crying. I just started crying, and it dried up like that. Who showed up? The daughter of my mom and dad, Paulette Delk. She showed up, and then she just cried and hurt and wept and wept and hurt. And then when the daughter of God showed up, the Spirit of God, the daughter of God, then I just dried up and everything was fine. But these two members war. And that's what happens when you have a lust in you about something. You want to do that, or you want to do this, or you want to partake of that, and you know you shouldn't, and your flesh says it's not going to hurt you, and now this flesh, this natural man, the daughter of your mom and dad, she rises up, or he rises up and says, you're not hurting anyone but yourself. No one's going to know. And so what's happening is your flesh is lusting after the things of your spirit, because your spirit is so powerfully strong. Your spirit is so overwhelmingly strong, and the flesh gets so insanely jealous of that it wants what the spirit has. So the flesh starts longing and says, hey, I can help you. You don't need him. You don't need this. You don't need to get on your knees and pray. I can help you with, if you'll just smoke a little joint, if you'll just drink a little this, if you'll just get a companion, if you'll just get a girlfriend, a boyfriend, whatever, you know, people just, and they could be married and still go after somebody else. And they're not even pretty and they're not even handsome. But when lust sets in, it doesn't have to be. I've seen people, I've said there's so many couples that just, they got involved and they went off the deep end. It was the ugliest mess you've ever seen. And they go, but I was so in love. Like, baby, you were nothing but in lust. You were in lust. See, lust is a driving force. It just drives you and it won't shut its mouth. But when it's the Spirit just leads you along. And the Spirit doesn't keep on and on. Like the people of Israel. Well, actually Moses. God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, you're going to lead those people through the wilderness. I think he told him once. Talked about it a few times in different areas. But Satan will just drive you. Go, now, now, now. You got to do this now. You got to do this now. I've watched people called into ministry. And that spirit, so lust to take the flesh or to take the place of the spirit. And they are called to ministry and he pushes them, pushes and pushes. I remember one woman, she came to me. She had 3 kids and a husband. And she told me, God is calling me to preach the gospel and I can't do it with them. They are in my way. And I said, honey, you know what? Why don't you just sit down for a while? I wanted to say sit down and shut up. But I just said, just sit. Wait on Jesus. Well, no, I you know what? I just feel the Lord telling me, I'm going to move to Paso Robles. And you're going to do what? Well, I'm going to preach. Why can't you preach here? Well, God's told me, Pastor, I know you don't believe it, but he's called me to leave my family and go do that. I said, well, I guess all I can say is go for it if that's what you're lusting after. She was lusting even after ministry. That messed that girl's life up so bad. And so she did it. So again, what I'm trying to say is that when it's your flesh or that natural man, it will just push you and push you and push you and not be quiet. But when it's the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you. You follow behind him. He'll lead you. Just follow him. And Paul says that if you walk in the ways of the Spirit, then you won't fulfill that lust. It'll have to be quiet. Because look at verse 17. Here we go again. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. But look at this. The Spirit lusts against the flesh. Say, Pastor, I don't know about that. Well, you just read it. The Spirit lusts too. The Spirit says, you know, just the flesh is wanting everything the Spirit can do for you. But now the Spirit, Holy Spirit, sees what you're doing. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's being awake in the middle of the night, you can't sleep, and you go get a drink or you go get a sleeping pill. And I'm not preaching to get sleeping pills. Maybe some of you got to have those. But I'm just saying, but the Holy Spirit's like, well, he's lusting after that pill, or he's lusting after that drink, or he's lusting. You know, you've put somebody in their place. If I just, like that girl, oh, I'm going to put the ministry here. She was putting the ministry in the place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wanted to help her. And so the Holy Spirit's lusting. He goes, that thing is taking my place. I can help you, but no, you're leaning on that. You're leaning on him. You're leaning on her. You're leaning on this. You're leaning on money. You're leaning on your job. You're leaning on this. And I could help you. And the Holy Spirit, James, the brother of Jesus, said, the Holy Spirit lusts to envy to help you. I mean, just full of jealousy against that flesh to help you. And then the next line there, it says, the Spirit lusts against the, verse 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Look, these are contrary to one another so that you can't do the things you wish. So here's what's going on. Whenever you've got the flesh lusting against the Spirit and the spirit lusts against the flesh, because spirit knows that isn't right for us. He knows it. But then it all gets contrary one to the other. The flesh is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is contrary to the flesh. Now, we're not going to take time to look that word up, but remember, if you read Acts chapter 27 when I was ministering on Sunday about that storm, remember what it said. The angel of the Lord stood by Paul and said, Paul, this boat should not take off. This ship should not leave here because the winds are contrary to the boat. But it says, though, but when the captain of the ship saw the winds blow softly, he thought everything's okay. And when they got out there and got caught in that storm for 14 days and 14 nights, Paul stood up and he said what my younger brother used to always say to us, I told you so. You should have listened to me. I told you the wind was contrary. Well, this is why we feel this war in our spirit. There's a war. And whenever that flesh starts rising up, the spirit will rise up too. And the spirit will say, I can take you there. I can help you. I can help you. But you don't have time. You know, no. I've got to get help now. So I just want to leave you with this. I know our time is gone. But they're contrary one to another. And then what was that last word? So that you can't do the things you want to do. You want to go on and work for the Lord. You want to go on and do this or do that. But this thing is messing you up so bad because you're lusting. You got to get in that place. You got to hurry up and get in that place. Instead of just flowing with the wind, when the wind of the Holy Ghost, when he blows. But if you were led by the Spirit, verse 18, but if you were led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You say, well, if we're not under the law, then we're under grace and I can do whatever I want. Well, we are not under the law. But you know what? We're here to obey the Spirit of God. And when we obey the Spirit, we don't feel like we're in bondage to the law. You're either going to be a prisoner of the law and a prisoner of rules, or you're going to be a prisoner of the love and the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he leads us and takes care of us. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I wanted to get into the fruits of the Spirit. But can we just pray for a few minutes about our just saying, God, I want to walk in your Spirit. Yes, you can. Come on, Kathy.
Satan uses all kinds of tricks, and he uses God's word twisted a little tiny bit to influence people to do what he wants. And then you have to understand, not everything that you're told is from God. If it's confusing or it's weird, it's not from God. It's from Satan. But he uses scripture sometimes, twisted around, and you think, well, that's biblical. I should do that. God's telling me to leave my family, to leave my children. You know, and I'm going to go over here and I'm going to preach and I'm just going to win people to the Lord. No, you're not. You're going to go over there and be a mess because it's not from God. It's from Satan, but it's confusing. So when you get the confusion, you really do need to sit down and pray about it and ask God to take the Satan out of your house, out of your mind, out of everything, because that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, that's so true. Because he'll even use, look, that was a good thing to go preach, but it tore up her home. Took this mother away from her children and away from her husband. God was not in that. And you're right about confusion. We know that confusion comes from the enemy. And whenever your flesh and spirit are warring within you, you're never going to be happy. It's a total warfare constantly inside. And when you feel like your flesh is trying to take over, get back in the spirit. You walk in the spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't. But it's going to take some doing on your part. But actually, he helps. He's the one that can do it. We can't correct ourselves. We really can't. I mean, that's why the world is where they are right now. They have no help. They have to do what they do. They have to. They've got to have a crutch somewhere. Well, our only crutch, Judy's husband, my sister's husband, used to always say, oh, Jesus is just a crutch to you. And she said, he sure is, Gary. He is a crutch. We lean on him. We trust him. So let's lean on Jesus, our crutch, and love him and follow him. Come on, let's pray.